Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Let's stand and read the Word of God. Revelation chapter 1. I'll start at the first verse. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the Word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace, from him which is and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, and to him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Father, we thank you and praise you for the wonderful presence of the Lord and for the exalting of the name of Jesus. And I pray that you'd help us to continue to do that right now, Lord, from your word. Lift up the word, the name of Jesus. I pray that our souls would be thrilled with the Son of God. Lord, may we know him better. Be more devoted, dedicated to Jesus. Make him known to others. We'll give you the praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Last time that I spoke on Wednesday night, I started on the book of Revelation, emphasizing to you the subject of this book. The subject of the book of Revelation is the subject of the whole Bible. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and these are they that testify of me." This is the primary subject, primary person of the whole Bible is Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us in this opening verse of Revelation, the primary subject of this book is the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the focus of this book. Jesus is the focus of this book. Not Antichrist, not tribulation, but Jesus Christ. This is the focus of this book. Sometimes we miss the main message. You know, it's very easy for us to overlook the main message of the book. That is what happened to the Pharisees. It wasn't that they were ignorant of the Bible. They were very schooled in the Bible. But they had missed the main subject of the Bible. And Jesus said, you think you have eternal life, and these are they, the scriptures, testify of me. They missed the main message. And we don't want to miss the main message. The main message of the book of Revelation is Jesus Christ. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And John opens up the letter with words that we find very frequently in the New Testament epistles. Grace and be unto you and peace. He tells who it's from him which is and was and is to come, that's the Father, and from the seven spirits before the throne, that's the sevenfold Holy Ghost or Spirit in his completeness, and then from Jesus Christ. And then he goes into some detail about Jesus Christ. And the reason for that is because this is his subject. And so he's going to detail for us some things about Jesus Christ. These are things that he knew from his experience. I mean, this man has been a disciple of Jesus, the closest disciple to Jesus, leaning on his breast at the Last Supper. Others saying, when Jesus said, "One of you is going to betray me," and they're saying, "Who is it? Or Lord, is it I?" And John's saying, "Who is it?" Because John has no intention of denying the Lord or turning his back on him, betraying him. And John was the beloved disciple. And now then, he's telling us some things that he knows about Jesus. Now, he's going to tell us some things later on in this chapter that he didn't know. He's going to see Jesus in his resurrected power and glory, in his role as the judge of the church and of the world. And he's going to see some things, and some things going to be revealed to him that he didn't know before. But he knows the Lord. He knows him, and he's going to tell us some things about what he knows right here. He says, Jesus Christ, and this is a little outline that I have here. In Revelations 1, 5 through 8, we're going to see who he is. We'll see what he has done, and we'll see what he will do. First of all, we see in verses 5 and 8 who he is. John says that he is the faithful witness. Jesus is the faithful witness. Jesus said about himself, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. He said at his trial before Pilate that for this reason I came into the world to bear witness to the truth. The Bible says that they that sat in darkness saw a great light. Brother, every one of us have been in the darkness, and Jesus brought us the light. He is a faithful witness. He came to set forth before the world the truth that saves our souls and makes life meaningful. And so he is the faithful witness. When he was on trial and questioned by his accusers, are you the Christ, the Son of the Highest? Jesus, right there, knew that the answer he gave would be decide between life and death. If he's not the Son of God, now's the time to tell the truth so he can go free. But Jesus is the faithful witness. And Jesus said, you say it. It is true. He affirmed it, that he was the Christ, the Son of God. He paid for that witness with his life. And that's the reason that John says that Jesus is the faithful witness. Later on, Jesus will send a message to the church at Pergamos, and he will say to them in verse 13 of chapter 2, he says that, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr or my faithful witness who was slain among you where Satan dwells. So here's Jesus setting the example. He's the faithful witness who tells the truth even when it means his life. And he set the example for all the saints. Not only is he the faithful witness, he's the first begotten of the dead. John knows that Jesus was crucified, but he also knows that Jesus rose again from the dead because he is an eyewitness of that fact, that Jesus rose from the dead. John was the first one to know about that empty tomb. Remember, the women came and told the disciples about that empty tomb, and John and Peter went running to that tomb, and John outran Peter, but he was a little bit more restrained than Peter and stood outside looking in. But Peter, who was a little bit slower and probably a little older than John, went running right on past him into the tomb, and they both looked and saw the grave clothes lying there, and the headdress napkin folded up. The Bible says they saw and they believed. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. They saw and they believed. They went out of that place, brother. It was that very day that Jesus revealed himself to them, came in the room where they were, and showed them that he was indeed the resurrected Son of God. And John bore witness of the fact that Jesus is the first begotten from the dead, that he is the first man to come back from the dead, never to die again. Now, when Jesus came out of the grave, here's the difference. You know that there are three people in the Old Testament resurrected, three people in the ministry of Christ, three people in the book of Acts. But every one of them died again. And listen, every one of them came back to life with the same body they had when they died. And they died again. But when Jesus came out of the grave, he didn't come out with that mortal body. He came out with an immortal body. He was the first begotten from the dead, the first one to come out of the grave with an immortal, incorruptible body. When we are resurrected, we're going to have a body like his. Incorruptible, immortal. Glory to God. Jesus is the first begotten from the dead. He is the first fruits of them that slept, which means that there's going to be a harvest coming out after him. Hallelujah. Because he lives, we're going to live also. Praise God. He's the first begotten from the dead. He is the prince of the kings of the earth. Now, John's going to reiterate this. In the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, he's going to see Jesus coming out of the heavens riding on a white horse. He's going to have on him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's going to have crowns, not just one crown, but many crowns on his head. That every power, every authority in all of the world belongs to Jesus. And what you see in the book of Revelation, you see Jesus resting out of the grasp of the usurpers of this earth. The powers, he's wrestling the authority out of the hands of Satan and those who represent him on this earth. And one of these days, the declaration's going to be made. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. And that's what we're reading about in the book of Revelation. We're seeing Jesus take his place, his rightful place, brother. He is the prince of the kings of the earth. When the announcement of his birth was made, this is one thing that the angel told Mary. He's going to sit on the throne of David, and there'll be no end to his reign. Praise God. I'm telling you, Jesus is reigning right now, brother. The world don't realize it. They don't recognize it. They don't acknowledge it. But Jesus is king right now. And he's ruling and reigning in the heavens right now. And there are men who think that they have authority, but they don't realize there's one above them. There is a king who is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the prince of the kings of this earth. Praise God. It's comforting to me, brother. I'm telling you, it's comforting to me to know. They say that our president is the most powerful man in all of this earth. The president of the United States of America. I know one that's more powerful than the president of the United States of America. I know the prince of the kings of the earth. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. You know, when you know Jesus, when you are acquainted with Jesus, how can you be impressed with all of the glory of any man? When you know the prince of the kings of the earth, when every day you come converse with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, when every day you have a meeting with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, how can you be impressed with the glory of man when you've seen the glory of God? This is who he is. He is a faithful witness. He is the first begotten of the dead. He is the prince of the kings of the earth. And in verse 8, he says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. Alpha is the first letter in the alphabet, Greek alphabet. Omega is the last letter in the Greek alphabet. I'm Alpha and I'm Omega. I was there in the beginning, I'll be there in the end. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. And He is the Lord which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. This is said about Jesus. It's also said about the Father. Same thing that's said about the Father is said about Jesus. Because Jesus is of the same substance as His Father and has the same power and authority as His Father, and He is the one which is and which was and which is to come. Hallelujah. He is the Almighty. And this book is going to demonstrate that. We're going to see this through this book that Jesus is the Almighty. The power. He said, all power is given unto me. When Jesus came out of the grave, He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. You go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Ghost and teach them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Hey, listen. Listen, this is the commission Christ gave to us. But before He gave to us the commission, He told us, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth, and you go, and I'm going with you, He said. Hey, brother, I get in situations sometimes that makes me quake, preaching situations that I'm not comfortable with, witnessing situations that I'm not comfortable with, that I shake and tremble, and there have been times that I've had appointments and didn't want to go because I feared the circumstances of those situations. And not long ago, I was in a situation like that, and I went anyway. And I was just really disheartened about the situation. Didn't really feel like ministering. But I got up to do it anyway. And counting on the Lord to help me. And I got to preaching. And the power of the Holy Ghost come on me. And the Holy Ghost began to speak through me. I mean, it was just like a bolt of lightning out of the heavens. It shocked me and shocked them too. But brother, they sat up in their seats after that. And they gave attention to the Word of God. But the Holy Ghost made Himself known in that service. You know, we don't have to be afraid if Jesus goes with us. If Jesus goes with me, the song says, I'll go anyway. Hey, glory to God. When we're obeying Jesus, when we're carrying out His commands, all power is given to me in heaven and earth, He said, and I'm going with you. I'll go with you always, even to the end of the world. Oh, young folks, learn it now. Learn it now. Being a witness for Jesus, trembling at the responsibility, trembling at the wondering at the outcome of my speaking up for Jesus. And perhaps most of us are like that sometimes. But don't forget what He said. I'm with you. I'm the Almighty. All power is given to me. Heaven and earth, you go and I'm going with you. I'm going with you. Amen. Oh, just think about it. Jesus is standing right there. Right there with you. Just calm down. Jesus is with us. Hallelujah. That's who He is. One which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty.
Oh, glory to God. I don't know if we'll finish this tonight. I tell you what, this service has just been going its way. From the very beginning, it seemed like spotlighting Jesus, focusing on Jesus, the wonders of Jesus, the glory of Jesus, power of the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Oh, the song says, use His name. Power in the wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, yeah, devils tremble at that name, brother. They know who that is. Woo! I said they know who that is. And they know who Jesus is. They know the power of that name. They know the power of Jesus. They know they can't stand before Jesus. Jennifer was telling me before church about incident that happened at Brother Sutherland's church Sunday night. A man come in full of the devil. Made a scene in the house of God. Fell out in the floor speaking in tongues. Brother Benny recognizes the devil in him and got down and started praying for him and alerted the people in the church that anybody that's here that's not saved, get out of here now, and call on the saints to pray. They begin to pray for this man and cast the devil out of him. And this man, you know, after some struggle there, he threw up. And God delivered him from the powers of hell and set the man free. And through the power of the name of Jesus, brother. Now, sometimes we struggle, you know, casting out devils and so forth. We struggle. But Jesus don't struggle. Our struggle is believing. There's no struggle to Jesus to tell a devil what to do. When Jesus speaks, Jesus met the devil in the wilderness and was tempted there 40 days and 40 nights and met the devil on his own turf and defeated the devil through the power of the Word of God. And that last temptation, when the devil stood up to Jesus and took him to that mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the world and said, I'll give you all these kingdoms and the glory of them if you'll bow down to me and worship me. And Jesus said to him, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And then he said to the devil, get thee hence. He didn't beg him. He commanded him, you leave. And from that moment on, brother, I'm telling you, in the ministry of Christ, Christ never begged devils. He never pleaded with devils. He commanded devils. And when Jesus commanded devils, they did what he said, because there's power in the name of Jesus, power in the word of Jesus, brother. I'm telling you, devils have to move when Jesus speaks. They fear the name of Jesus. Every child of God that's submitted to God, the Bible says, submit yourselves therefore unto the Lord. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Here is the key, brother. Here's the key to victory. Here's the key to making the devil flee, is submit yourselves to God. You live under the authority of God. The devil has to flee from the authority of a person under the authority of God in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you that devils cannot stand the name of Jesus, because Jesus has power over hell. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's no name like the name of Jesus. Sister Judy, come to the piano. Oh, my. I want us to pray tonight that the Lord will reveal to our heart the glories of the Son of God. I'm telling you, when a man sees Jesus in his greatness and his glory, like the Apostle Paul saw him, the Apostle Paul was a man who hated Jesus. He thought Jesus was a dead criminal. He met him on the Damascus Road. He saw the resurrected, glorified Son of God, and it so changed his life, he never turned around and ever looked back. He put his hand to the plow. He went straight ahead, brother. He never entertained the thought of turning around when he saw the resurrected, glorified Son of God. Hallelujah. When we get a vision of Jesus in his greatness and his glory, we won't be tempted to turn around and go back when we understand how wonderful Jesus is. That's what the Lord wants to do for us. Oh, these young folks, I've been praying for you, young folks. We've seen too many walk out of here, go some other direction. Listen, you leave this church. If you leave this church and go to another church, you be sure it's a better church than this one. Don't you walk away from here. Go to some church, it's not going to tell you the truth. I mean that from my heart. Don't walk away from here and say, well, they're good people. They don't live right. They don't preach holiness. But we didn't know there's some good folks there. They walk away from this church and go to some other church where they're going to tell you that you can sin and still go to heaven. Don't go to some other church. They're not going to teach you the ways of God. When you've been exposed to the truth, you know the glory of Christ. Oh, glory to God. You felt the power of God. You know what it is to live in obedience to Him. Don't walk away from here and go somewhere where you're not going to hear the truth. And they're going to counsel you in ways that will destroy your soul. This is not a perfect church. I tell anybody comes here, I will tell you, this is not a perfect church. I'm not a perfect pastor. There are problems. We got problems. We'd be telling a lie if we didn't say the truth. But I'm telling you, brother, the Lord is here. God is here. Amen. Jesus is here. The Lord wants you to know His greatness and His glory to the extent you won't accept anything but that. The glory of the Son of God. Oh, glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, He's wonderful, children. He's great. There's none like Jesus. He's the Son of God. He wants you to be like Him, follow Him, obey Him. I want us to come and pray tonight that the Lord will show us His glory, His greatness. And we'll have a vision of Jesus so wonderful. Whatever the devil throws at us, whatever enticements he brings to us, whatever pretty pictures he paints before us, we say we've seen something better than that. We've seen the glory of Jesus. We've seen something better than what the world has to offer. We've felt His presence. We've felt His glory. The world looks like a trash pile when you've seen Him and known Him. I want us to stand together tonight. Come on to the altars. Let's pray. Ask the Lord to help us to love Him with all of our hearts.